I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
In this podcast, chat about the win against Cardiff, look ahead to Watford, and how many UK number ones does Elton John have? This is the Borough Breakdown podcast, and this is like a Borough Match Day chatter in the pod.
Support. Curtis Fleming is there on the edge of the area. Fleming for Craig Hignett. Hit it, Higgy. Higgy hits the treble!
Ravanelli coming alive again. Janino wants the ball played to him. Ravanelli spots out. Emerson!
Hello and welcome to the Borough Breakdown podcast with Johnny, Dana and Matt. We are the Borough podcast that gives you all of your Borough Match Day chat in a podcast. And Borough have beat Cardiff 4-1 at the Cardiff City Stadium. A goal from Finazaz, Ale Gilbert, Latte Laugh and Domshaw gave Borough a 4-1 win at the Cardiff City Stadium. Leaving Borough 8th in the championship table. Guys, what is your one key takeout from the week? I've been waiting for that all season. Dana, what's your one key takeout?
Oh, that was superb. Well, basically, it's the same as last week. I'm going to try and keep it short and sweet again, shorter and sweeter. It's that I'm excited about next season, and Emmanuel Latilath may just be the best striker in the world.
That was quick. And one key takeout, very bite-sized indeed. Matt, what is your key takeout from the weekend?
That I did not expect that. You absolutely caught me out there. Oh, Christ. Yeah, my key takeout is I'm trying very, very hard to not get very, very excited about next season. I think there's a typical Borough side in me that's just gone, we've been here before, we might go winless until bloody November. You know, there's loads of things that could still happen, but I'm looking at the Borough team we have. Carrick's mentioned the connections that, you know, between players and the form that they're in, and things, as Mystic Tom Green did say on the pod a number of times, he did say that we would click around this time and then just miss out. And that's exactly what's happened. So if we can carry this into next season and only add to the team and the squad, it's very hard to not get too excited about next season, but it is Middlesbrough Football Club, which is always quite the caveat.
Yeah. And for me as well, I would just say, probably echo what you were saying there, Matt, as well, just saying it's clicking. And it's crazy to see what happens when players are given time and those relationships are built and things can start to flow. But I do think there is a lot of improvement to still be made in the team. You know, obviously in the summer is going to be interesting, and I'm really intrigued to see what we do in the summer, because I know there's going to be outgoings and I know who are we going to bring in. There's good free agent market this year. There's players available in different leagues. So yeah, I'm just excited to see what we do. But it is clicking, and probably still say patience would be required next year for the first couple of games. But overall, I would say fairly optimistic, I would say, for next season. But let's chat about the game yesterday, because Borough were very comfortable in the second half and smashed Cardiff 4-1. I mean, it should have been 4-0, but very typical Borough to give a goal away. But then it was our 10th win on the road this season. The last time we managed that was in 2018 and 2019. But what were your thoughts on the game yesterday?
It was really weird, because if you'd have told me at halftime that the game would finish up 4-1, honestly, I'd have questioned your mental standing, because that first half was really drab. It was devoid of quality from both sides. And as it ticked on, I got gradually more unarsed. I said to you at halftime, I just want to play Fallout 4. I've got some new quests. can we wrap this football match up, get me on my Xbox? And then suddenly the game just sprung into life. We scored 3 goals in a period of 11 minutes. And I thought, okay, Fallout can wait. This is quite enjoyable now. I think the midfield just got a grip of their performance. They started to retain the ball better. Every time that we went forward, we looked really dangerous. It became quite enjoyable from there on in. And Cardiff, I mean, there was no coming back from being 4-0 down. They looked really insipid anyway, to be honest. And the only chances that they really created were through Borough's mistakes. There was that one chance from Gutas that drew a good save from Senny Dieng, but all in all, I thought they were really poor. And to be fair, Borough matched them in that first half. Like, I have to say, the first 45 was really poor. It was just devoid of quality, as I said. But good that we picked it up in the second. We are very effective in the second half this season, as we have been under Michael Carrick anyway. A few things that I really enjoyed from that game: Matt Clark, I thought, was absolutely imperious. Izaz got into the groove in the second half. Gilbert as well, which was really good to see. Latelath scoring again, 10 goals in his last 11 games now. And then 3 academy lads getting on at the end as well. So a lot of positives again from that game, despite a first half that I don't think anybody's really going to remember, bar Matt Clark getting his first Borough goal, of course.
Absolutely, Matt. And it'd be really good to get your thoughts on it as well, because it felt to me like a big win and a nice stepping stone for next season. But I'd be really keen to get your thoughts on the game as well yesterday.
Yeah, it was a tale of two halves, wasn't it? I was watching the first half and feeling like it was two sides that were just lacking a bit of quality, not quite on the beach, but I thought the game was just going to peter out. I didn't see what was coming in the second half. But what I did see in the second half was not quite that comparable to the Borough team of last season, but I sort of looked at the way we sort of flicked a switch a little bit and turned it on. It reminded me a little bit of Borough last season, where we just got a grip of the game and then had a blistering spell where we just put the team to the sword. We did it quite a lot last season with the quality that we had. We've not done it as often this season, obviously. I think that's natural. You expect us to not be as clinical as we were last season. But I sort of saw similarities there with how quickly we just put Cardiff away. What I will say, though, is I think Senny Dieng deserves credit, because he made 2 crucial saves at 2 crucial moments. I think the lob that he clawed out of the air in the first half, that would have put us behind. And then he made another really good save, tipping a header on the post at 1-0, which would have obviously equalised the game. So there was a couple of moments that went in our favour and could have maybe changed the outcome of the game. But in the second half, we really took control and we played some really good stuff. The fourth goal was absolutely beautiful. It was such good football. Azad's really coming. It was on, I thought, as Dana said, Gilbert was a breath of fresh air. I was taken aback by his performance a little bit, to be honest. And yeah, obviously, Mr. Inevitable, Lath scoring again. Might as well just start sticking it on an accumulator at this point, or a bet builder. It's crazy, isn't it? How inevitably is. But yeah, it was a great second half and a great way for the away fans to obviously end the season travelling all the way down there. It was, I'm sure, a good away day for them.
Yeah, on the betting tip as well, Matt, I would probably never do that, because I've always been told never back the Borough, because we always do the opposite of what you tend to put on. But he is inevitable at the minute, Latelath. I think he's playing really, really well, and he's just slowly getting better and better and better. And then you just go on Twitter and then you'd be like, a Leicester fan will just say, why don't we swap Latelath for Luke Thomas? And I was like,
I saw that.
I was like, right, okay. Yeah, because you live in La La Land.
You've got enough attackers as it is, Leicester. Know, yeah. You don't need any more.
I know, I've seen what they did with Tom Cannon. It's abysmal. But yeah, really good performance from us. And I want to chat to you about Luke Thomas, actually, Matt. He's getting better. I've seen over the last couple of games. Personally, I probably wouldn't sign him in the summer, but we did put a poll out on Twitter before the game asking who they would prefer at left back at the weekend, either Alex Van Gura
playing
left back, Luke Thomas right wing.
He played really well in a defensive position against Leeds, so to be fair, he probably could do a job there, could Latelath.
I know, that's what I mean. He could, and that's why I'm saying put him left back. So, Alex Bangura or Luke Thomas. So, we were surprised that he was starting, given that Bangura played quite well against Leeds.
Yeah, I was a little bit. He is improving, so I've got to give him his due for that. We are seeing progression from Luke Thomas, I think, compared to the player who come in at the start of the year. But I think we are at the point in the season now where I'd much rather us play our own players. I don't know if it's... I saw some people theorising that maybe it's a sign that we might be looking to sign him for next season, but I just don't see the point of it. I really don't. I think Engel and Bangura are more than good enough, unless we are wanting to maybe put one of them two further forward, as we've discussed on the podcast previously, might leave us a bit lighter at left back. But yeah, my only thought is that maybe Bangura is still not quite 100%. I think Carrick is taking a very low risk approach at this point in the season. Obviously, you mentioned the likes of Hackney and Coburn aren't even going to be brought back in because it's just not worth the risk at this point. So maybe there's a element to that with Bangura as well. But either way, I do hope, well, not hope, it's a bit harsh, but I don't think we should sign Luke Thomas. I don't know if there is some sort of agreement that he has to play a certain number of games. I've saw that knocking about as well, but he's gotten better and I can't argue with his improved performances. But I think if he's fit, especially in the final game of the season, I would like to see Alex Bangura back and his crazy sprinting because he runs really funny. And he sprints and his limbs are everywhere. I love him.
Really, he really does. I would like to have like an athletic style article just analysing Alex Bangura's running style. Can someone please make that happen? Because I don't even know how to describe it, to be
like
honest.
Like a cartoon character.
Wide. Yeah, his legs are quite wide-ish. I don't know. It's very strange, but I love it. I'm not knocking it. I love it.
Yeah, the aerodynamic nature of Alex Bangura being mentioned.
That's it. He's very twisty when he runs. That's probably the best way I can describe it. If you watch him, he is very twisty when he runs.
Yeah, it's all on the hip.
With tension.
Nice. All right, then.
Sorry. Got the better of me there.
No, it's fine. You know, I mean, I hope every single listener forgets that moment. to be honest... Yeah, that's getting cut out. I mean, speaking of players that can run, Matt Clark can run, I think, now that he's post-injury. You know, he obviously scored his first goal yesterday. I'm going to say, he's looked amazing since he's came back. I remember saying on the pod, like, many months ago, about who was our best centre-half. And we were like, we forgot about Matt Clark, and he was really good, and he's came back, and he's been amazing. And I would just kind of hear your thoughts on him, because... At the start of the season, obviously, there was a lot questioning his fitness. Will he even play a game this year? We've forgotten about him in most parts as well. And he's really came back and made that position his own. Obviously, he's been looking fortunate in a way that Dale Fry and Lenahan have been injured for the most part. McNair as well hasn't really appeared either. So, yeah, it's good to get some overall thoughts on him.
Yeah, I think he's been markedly impressive. He was out for nearly a year. His last appearance before his unofficial return in a behind-closed-doors friendly against Carlisle in late September was that 1-0 away defeat to Coventry on October 1st, which was Chris Wilder's final game. Yeah. We put this out on Twitter yesterday about, is he in the conversation for Player of the Year? I think he absolutely is, because bar... the Leeds game, where he came on and he obviously gave away that penalty, he has been very impressive. And considering that amount of time that he spent injured, and can you imagine the lack of fitness and how you would have to get back up to speed? Obviously, you're training, you're working hard to try to get yourself back up and build up your strength to be able to take to the pitch and perform at a decent level. But he has been out, or was out, for so long. Came back in, probably ahead of schedule, honestly, just because of Paddy McNair, his injury, and then Borough's centre-half injury crisis. Well, I don't even think you could say centre-half injury crisis, just injury crisis. The fact that he's performing at the level that he is right now is kudos to him, because I can imagine it would have been really tough mentally to be out for that long and, you know, a horrible back problem that just never seemed to go away, and rebuilding himself up in terms of confidence and trust in himself and his own body as well. I think he's been really fantastic for us, Matt Clark. He's a wonderful blend of that old-fashioned kick it and hoof it, or kick them and hoof them kind of defender, gets his head on things, is very bold and composed within his performance in terms of defending, but also, like, I have seen Matt Clark drop the shoulder and shift the ball away from an advancing centre forward. Like, he's good on the ball as well. He might not look it, he might make people think that, oh shit, he's going to lose it, because I think he's just that build, isn't he? He's quite slow, he's not the quickest, but I think he's got some really good attributes that I really like in a defender, that mix of yeah, that modern day defender and the kind of old school. I've really, really enjoyed his performances this season.
I would say on his distribution, though, it's actually really good. It is really good.
Yeah, the long balls.
It's the long dive. He's been watching Jim Clocks on clubs 100%.
Nothing about the other night, Johnny.
We're having a stinker. We are having a stinker. We won one game, didn't we? One game.
Yeah.
Two draws and five defeats or something. It's bad.
It's a shame, really, but, you know, who starred in those... In those defeats, I think Jim Fox did. So, you know, scored a couple of goals here and there. And then obviously the games, some of them were just absolutely horrendous. Everyone's probably thinking, who the hell is Jim Fox? but it is like, look, that another guy. Time. but speaking of obviously good distribution, yeah, like his dives are really good. He reads the game quite well. I like the relationship he's got with Rav as well at the moment. And I think there's a lot to really dissect, I think, in the centre-back position, because McNair, for me, has gone in the summer. I think Dale Fry, we haven't seen in months. I know there's been injuries, but is he at a level where we can think, right, should we maybe move Dale on and bring someone else in? That I think that's a conversation we could definitely have. We know that Lenihan's still injured and he's going to be out for a while. You know, so there's a position there for someone maybe new to come in as well. But also, for me, McClarkey's cemented himself in that position. Him and Rav, really good partnership. Both read the game really well. We can build on it as well. If you get a good right back in, maybe for in the summer, you know, keep giving competition for Tommy Smith, because he's going to be a while to come back in the team. So there's a lot, and it's a very intriguing position. But overall, for me, Matt Clark's been fantastic. But Matt, have you got anything that you want to add about Matt Clark?
Well, I think we're seeing the centre back that won Player of the Year at two of the previous clubs he was at. I can't recall exactly which two. I think West Brom might have been one of them. I don't want to.
I think Derby was another.
Derby.
Might have even been Portsmouth as well. He's racked up quite a few accolades.
He might have been close to all three, but we're seeing the Player of the Year level of centre back that we were getting when we signed him, and Baldini, as I think he's now called, or is it Baldini? Or I think the Boropolis lads need credit in for the name, but he's. I think he's done everything that you would want of a player coming back in after such a long injury. Dana made a good point about the mental side of the game, which I don't think people quite consider as much as they do the physical side of the game. But I think backing yourself to get back up to speed at the level, he might have had a bit of self-doubt, a bit of imposter syndrome. I don't know. I think he's done really well to get his head back into the, you know, his beautiful big bald head back into the game, as well as, you know, himself physically. But I mentioned this on Twitter a few weeks ago, and I think there was a lot of fans were a little bit naive to just sort of disregard him and say, well, Lenihan and Rav should be our two centre-backs. And albeit, yeah, if you put them all down on paper and they all start from a level starting position or whatever you want to say, then yeah, maybe that is the case. But I think given the fact that he's done so well since he's come back in, Lenihan doesn't... I don't think he walks straight back into this team, which is crazy. I think Clark deserves to keep hold of that position. Whether he does or not, you know, it's a good headache to have, Lenihan or Clark or Rav or Fry, it's great. But I think it'd be really harsh to just disregard Clark. And I think he gives us a good balance on the left with him being left-footed as well. I think the left-footed centre-half isn't, you know, a good left-footed centre-half isn't something to be sort of, to disregard either. So I think he's been fantastic. Him and Rav have been great. And I think our centre-back options next season are really, really positive.
I think him being left-footed really helps that big switch, doesn't it? That switch from left to right really helps the fact that he's left-footed, because if there was a right footer, they'd obviously try to shift it onto their favoured foot, and then it just kind of takes that time away to play that ball. While you were talking there, Matt, I was just looking at his individual accolades, and he did get Player of the Season for Portsmouth. He got it twice in 2017, 2018, then the following season in 2018-19. Then he got the Derby County Player of the Year in 2019-20 and the West Brom Player of the Year in 21-22. So, like, this is a very high-quality centre-half that we've got. And, yeah, it's a shame that he was forgotten. I mean, it's understandable that he was forgotten because of how long he was out for, but he's making sure that his performances are reminding us of how good of a centre-half he is.
Yeah, like obviously, like, if you look at like the numbers, and I don't want to bore you with the stats, but I think overall, like, his blocked and like interceptions, his duels, they're all really solid as well. But anyway, too much there. But we'll move on to someone else in a moment. But overall, for me, Matt Clark, unreal, and super happy with his performances, and hopefully looking for more of the same for next season. But there's a player that hasn't really played much. And I looked back at our lowdown video, Dana, on him. And we were looking at it at the start and saying it could be a second fiddle signing. We don't know how many minutes he's going to get. But overall, we can see a tidy player there. And it's Alex Gilbert or Alè Gilbert when he plays well. Alè Gilbert. And I'd love to know if Alex Gilbert, right, was probably listened to one of our podcasts and went, why Alè Gilbert? But you know what?
I was thinking that the other day. I can't remember why we landed on Alè Gilbert, but we did.
I think it was because I said that he looks like a player who's not your average English footballer. Do you know what I mean? Because at the time, like, remember, like, maybe like 20 years ago, and English football was always around like fitness and athleticism and, you know, like a not technically amazing, but when you look at like teams from like Spain and like and European teams, they're much better on the ball. And obviously, we've seen that shift completely now over like the last 10, 15 years. And good, because we're a much better footballing nation than we ever have been.
We are.
And
yeah.
We looked at him and gone, there's definitely a player in there. His experience is different because of the B team at Brentford. So he's had good minutes against good teams, and he's had to wait so patiently to start in the Championship. It was his first game in the season. What I really liked as well around him, we're saying he kept it as a cup final. Like this was his cup final for him, and he capped it off with a lovely goal. But then there's a lovely clip about Alè Gilbert, and you know what? He did something that you predicted at the start of the season as well. The next one is always the fun one. It's what your bold prediction for the season is.
I think that Alex Gilbert will outscore Chibrat-Pom.
Oh, what would you like to see in the final few games for Borough now?
I'd like to see us continue the unbeaten run, and I'd also like to see Alex Gilbert score so that my pre-season bold prediction isn't embarrassing. Keep the unbeaten run going. And Alex Gilbert, please, can you score a goal? Honestly, imagine if that happens, how I have plucked that out of the rear end of someone's rear end. If that actually comes to fruition, I'd love it.
And loved it. Dana Malt did. It was a great finish by Alè Gilbert. Really just like rounding off a really good win for us. Dana, you predicted it came from absolutely nowhere. But let's talk about Alex Gilbert, because he was really good yesterday, wasn't he?
He was. I enjoyed his second half performance. I think the first half, much like the game itself, he had to be patient. And actually, it was the perfect game that probably describes his season as a whole, because he really had to be patient in that game. He had to wait for his opportunity to strike that ball at the back of the net, because he was offering himself up to receive the ball quite a lot in that first half, and he just wasn't receiving the ball as much as I would have hoped, because he was picking up some really good positions. It was a fantastic moment from him, and yeah, really enjoyed his post-match interview as well. He never got frustrated in that game. I saw it. He never, ever got frustrated in that game, despite not being past the ball so much in that first half. And then when Borough clicked in the second, I think he was one of the heartbeats of it, which was really good to see. And I'm really happy for that, because, as you said, Johnny, there's a player in there. And I think we even mentioned on the lowdown that there's a player in there. Can we unlock it? And hopefully we've seen just a preview, a little snippet of Alex Gilbert being unlocked and unleashed. And yeah, that was a really good goal as well, because the play beforehand, the build-up play, the neat football building through the thirds was wonderful to see.
Matt, I see Gilbert was Gilberting yesterday, which you enjoyed that tweet.
He fully evolved. I saw him as like a Pokemon. You know, he evolved from Alex Gilbert into the full French iteration of Alè Gilbert. It was beautiful. I actually looked this up after the game, and again, I need to be a bit careful here, but I'm dropping a few numbers your way. He's played a total of 155 minutes this season, and he's got 4 goal contributions. He's got a goal and 3 assists, and that works out at a goal contribution every 38 minutes, which I think is an impressive stat in itself. So for me, I didn't quite come to terms with the fact that he probably wouldn't be here next season. I was assuming maybe he would be loaned out. It very much seemed like the writing was sort of on the wall almost, and maybe it still is. But when I saw him perform yesterday, I was slightly taken aback by that second half, because he didn't look like a player who'd not played many minutes, and he'd just come into a team and he was having to like familiarise himself. He looked at home and he looked comfortable. And I noticed he would be, you know, he would be walking around the pitch. He would make sure he's always in good space. He'd already have an idea of where his teammates were. He had really good spatial awareness, and his ball retention was really good in that second half. Every time he would pick it up, he knew exactly where he was going to play it next. And as Dana said, he kept us ticking. He was absolutely fantastic. And I don't think I saw that level of performance coming from him. And to cap it off with the finish as well, I mean, it was a really good goal. Good build-up play as well. Another assist for Aaron off the right. But, you know, I think he said after the game as well, he backs himself with both feet. And he certainly showed that, because to take that first time with his left foot and literally put it in the top bin was an outstanding finish. And I think out of a lot of players yesterday who performed well, as ours and Lathruthers deserved to get on the score sheet, he certainly did. And I was absolutely delighted for him. I thought he was absolutely outstanding yesterday.
We've mentioned his post-match interview. Can I just play the clip? Because I think it's worth watching and listening to what he has there.
When you're talking about mentality and how you approach the game, it's the perfect one for you because you're desperate to impress.
Well, that's the thing. I couldn't take this game as just another game and just coming to the end of the season. I treated this game like it was a cup final for me. I had to make sure that I took my chance when it arose, like now. I probably was hoping and knew that I'd maybe get a chance towards the end of the season when it was coming down to maybe not being around the playoffs. So I've just been waiting and waiting and being patient and in the background working hard, doing my gym, doing all the right things, running. And luckily my chance has come now and I took it.
How good is that? Like, how good is it to hear how he has really had to bide his time, because he has, and it's not another game for him. It was his cup final and he took his opportunity. So it's really stands him in good stead, doesn't it, for hopefully pre-season and going into the next season as well.
Yeah, I think it's good to kind of pluck one of our questions from podcast questions into now and around Gilbert, because Stuart asked us, would you guys keep Gilbert in and around the squad for next season or send him out on loan? I think it's an open question for us to answer, but in my opinion, I think it's entirely dependent on how many minutes we can potentially guarantee him, because he's on a 4-year deal at Borough. Now, deals don't always mean everything in football, but we've got 4 years to develop this player. He's had one season. He hasn't had many minutes. How do you develop him further? For me, brilliant yesterday. Have we seen enough from him in terms of like the clips and understanding of him? We definitely see there's a player there. It's just for me that next step is he needs probably more minutes next season. Whether that's like a 6-month loan or a full season out, that could really bring him on tenfold, even more so than it's the season after that he could develop. But it depends, because if Borough went up, say, next year to Premier League and it's like, oh, would he fit again? But I guess development's just not linear, because an example would be with Morgan Rodgers, because when he first came in at Borough in the summer, very raw around the edges, he came in and developed in November, December time. He was really hitting the ground running. And now look at the player who left us in January to now in the Premier League. It is completely different. He's gone up a completely different level, and probably helps being managed by Unai Emery and being with some fantastic players around you, which gives you that confidence too. But I'm really keen to see what you guys think. Would you keep him around next year or would you send him out on loan? Because I feel like for me, it just comes down to minutes. But
yeah, it probably does, doesn't it? I think we have to remember that we have only seen a small snippet of Alex Gilbert, and although he has been impressive of late, it has been a sub-cameo appearance against Leeds and the minutes that he had, the start that he had yesterday against Cardiff. So, yeah, there's not a lot. Like, the sample size isn't big, but what I will say is that what we have seen of him, I have been impressed. And I think as well, Johnny, it probably depends on Borough's business in the summer, because in that position that he plays, that number 10, and that left wing position, actually, because he's very versatile, Gilbert. I even think he could play a little bit deeper, but we are probably going to look for additional signings there. So, 100%. Yeah, that could kind of decide it for him.
My gut says loan, I think.
Yeah, I think I'd agree.
I just feel like, on the balance of things, he would get, or he would develop better playing very regularly. I don't think he has to drop down much of a level at all, to be honest. But you look at the squad depth, I think 10, or, you know, competing with Azaz in that sort of 10 position and off the left are positions that we need bodies. So naturally, if we weren't to bring anyone in, he would fit straight in to them positions. But I do feel like we need to replace them with ready-made quality and real competition And yeah, you know, let's not get too carried away. He was outstanding, but it is only a small sample size. It's very important we don't put too much pressure on the lad either, and we don't get too carried away at the same time. So yeah, if we'd have seen this a few more times over a, you know, a couple of other games towards the end of the season, then maybe there would be more of an argument to suggest that we keep him around. But I still just think a loan might be the best option for him. And I think maybe the lack of opportunities he's been given by Carrick thus far might also slightly lean towards that Carrick might also think that might be the best route for him.
Yeah, and he's still very, very young, got plenty of time to develop as a player, and we've got him on a good contract as well. So a loan could always be the best thing. But I was quickly want to move on to Finn Azaz, because a goal and two assists yesterday. He's now got double goals and assists for this year for Plymouth and Borough. For me, Dana, I think he's just becoming more and a more important asset for Borough. And what do you think he could be like next season?
I think he could be one of Borough's best players next season, if not the best. I think that's how highly I rate Finn Azaz's short-term potential, because I don't think that we need to wait too long for him to blossom into that. He has, as you said, already registered double figures in goals and assists, one of only four players in the Championship to do that this season. He's really getting into his groove. And the fact that we're seeing this right now, I think for a lot of January signings, you're probably looking towards, you know, the next 6 months being a bit of an introductory period for them. It's the journey to the start, essentially, that I would probably place it as. And then you're looking towards the next season for them to really stamp their quality on the team. But we're seeing it now from Azaz. You're so forward thinking. That ball over the top for Latte Lath is not one that I think I'd see from a lot of Borough players, because I think they'd maybe try to be a bit too clever. They'd probably carry the ball a little bit further forward. But he has that cleverness too, and that smartness to pick the right passes. It doesn't happen all the time. It doesn't come off all the time, but I can always appreciate a player like Finn Azaz will always try to get Borough progressing up the pitch. And I think that he will be a huge part of our season next season. And I'm looking forward to it. I think he's wonderful.
Yeah. And you can see like it's clicking more and more of him now. Like just the system, getting used to different players, those relationships like we spoke about earlier. For me, like the more he clicks, the better he's going to be. And he's just so comfortable. And when I watch some of his balls in behind on either foot, they just look, one, identical, which I think is really good quality to have. But they're always perfectly weighted as well. And I think it's just a really nice skill to have.
He has the goal threat and also the creative threat. Mm. That's yeah, such 100%. A good type of player to have. Like to have that balance between being able to play somebody in to score, but to also score himself, to be a threat from outside the box. He loves that fake shot, doesn't he? That fake shot inside. He probably will get on people's nerves sometimes when you just think, fucking shoot. But I really like Finn Azaz. And I do think that he'll be, I don't want to be too bold, but definitely one of Borough's best players next season, in my opinion.
Yeah, I like to think so. And you can't compare him to Morgan Rogers, because I feel like profile and player-wise, they're just different. They both have quality. They both create plenty of chances. They're just different. I think it's very difficult to compare them, although they're in similar positions. But overall, just enjoy them, man. Just enjoy them.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
We'll move on, Matt, because I just want to come back to a comment you mentioned earlier around being optimistic for next season. Because Michael Carrick said, when we click, we look really good. You mentioned earlier at the start, when we click, we look really good. Like, how optimistic are you for next season? I know you said you didn't want to get too hung up on it, but on a scale of 1 being I'm not optimistic at all and 10 being I'm incredibly optimistic, where do you think you are on that scale?
Oh, it's got to be at least an 8, you know.
Be careful with your answer.
I'm being very, very careful because we've been scarred by this football club many a time. But I don't think there is much that we need to do to be... I don't think we're far away, is what I'm saying. I think what I can see going into the end of this campaign compared to the last, I can see a very strong foundation. We're not over-reliant on loan players. We add a bit of quality. We get a little bit of good luck with injuries, and we don't give the rest of the league an 8-game head start, there is absolutely no reason to suggest that we can't kick on. I think, judging what the league will be like, I know there's an argument on whether the league will be as strong or not next season. I'd like to hope it probably won't be, but there's an argument to suggest that even with the ups and downs Borough have had this season, if we'd have had a fully fit squad, or if we'd have had, you know, a spell of games where we'd have maybe, I don't know, beat Rotherham once at least, we probably would have been in the conversation for the playoffs on the final day. Maybe we'd already be in there. So surely, you know, I say surely, God, it's Borough, but we can only progress forwards, and that should hopefully only mean that we should be in the playoff conversation at the very least next season. So I'm so trying my best to not get carried away, but we've got to respect the fact that I think in Carrick we are in such good hands. And so many of the players we signed in the summer, the majority, if not all of them, barring maybe one or two, I know there'll be one that Dana's probably thinking about, he's changed his hair. I think we've proven that the players are improving, they're getting better. Carrick mentioned the connection, the wavelength between the players is getting better. Surely, surely, surely next season will only be a belter.
I mean,
don't let me down, Borough. Please.
I mean, 24th at Christmas.
Carrick sacked after 12 games.
Yeah. Oh. Well, it is Borough. They always bring you up to knock you back down again. That's the DNA of Middlesbrough Football Club. But it was an afternoon full of positives yesterday. We're obviously rounding off with Lauren McCabe, AJ Matthews appearing off the bench, and also Chai Lennon as well, becoming 998th. Borough player to put on the shirt. But that kind of leads me quite nicely on to one of my favourite parts of this show, and it's the present place. Ah, yes, the present place, the only place we like to give praise to a player, coach and staff member, the fans, the Where's Wally, Dana's lovely shirt, and Matt's Borough Breakdown away shirt, which is just in the background. And I tell you what, that is a nice design shirt. But guys, who is in your praising place this week? Matt, I'm going to come to you first. Who's in your praising place?
My boy Senny's in there because, as I mentioned, he made two great saves at two great moments, which I think could have changed the game. But I really liked the little trio of performances between Finnezas, Alex Gilbert and Latilath. I think them three were absolutely fantastic going forward yesterday. There could have been a few. I think Matt Clark, you could always put him back in there again as well. But yeah, Gilbert definitely breakout performance, arguably. Azaz had one of his better games, took his finish really well, and Laelath, who is just absolutely on fire.
And Dana, who are you going to go for?
Yeah, I've dished out praise to Clark, Gilbert and Azaz, so I'm going to focus my attention on the Borough fans, and I am going to praise the Where's Wallies, because we know it's the end of the season, people love fancy dress, and when the camera panned on the fans yesterday, I did laugh, because, I mean, Where's Wally? It's funny, isn't it? And for them to go to Cardiff, really difficult journey because it's just so long. Credit to Cardiff as well, actually, because the prices that they put on, £11, absolutely brilliant. That's how football should be. So, yeah, the Borough fans, Where's Wally's, and Cardiff's prices, actually, I'm going to put in the praise of place this week.
Lovely stuff. And for me, I'll round it off and give it to my boy Alex Gilbert, the Alain Gilbert Show. And to be honest, I know obviously we take the piss on, and I really do want a commentator just to kind of take a snippet from our pod one day and go, oh, I didn't know it was Alain Gilbert. And then they sit in a commentary, and that would just give me so much immense joy.
I'd Steve Crossman, pleased. You know what to do. BBC Five Live,
Steve,
get it done.
You know, Maddo, if you want to say, if you want, I'm all for it, you know.
It's dangerous, Johnny. It's dangerous because we stayed back to meet the players after last week's game because it was our last home game of the season. And when Alex come over, I genuinely had to stop and make sure I didn't go, oh, great to meet you, Ale, great performance, yeah. And he'd have looked at me and went, what on earth have you gone on about? Yeah. And he'd have called the stewards over to get me removed from the car park. So, you have, like, planted the seed in my mind. So every time I, like, see him or even speak of him, I have to think twice.
That's like the Borough version of me accidentally calling Benjamin Bloom Benjamin Button many a time. So sorry, Ben, if you are listening to this, I have accidentally called you Benjamin Button quite a few times, but I feel like I've eradicated that from my brain now.
You do know the next time you speak to him, it's going to come up and you'll say, you do know that. But that's what we do on this podcast. We plant seeds in people's minds just that one snippet, just that little bit of hope. One day it's going to happen, but I know a few people call him Alain Gilbert, and obviously Matt, you can't stop talking about it at the moment when we have a little giggle, and I know Liv absolutely loves it as well when we say that as well, but overall though, my praise actually is brilliant performance, love to see more of it, his contribution in games has been great, the Southampton assist was brilliant, his goal yesterday was great. And hopefully, fingers crossed, he gets 1 minute wherever he is next season. I hope he's still contracted as a board player, which I definitely think he will be. But I just think he needs minutes, and wherever he goes is great. And fingers crossed there, he develops even more, because I definitely think there's a really good talent there. But let's move on. I've only got the one question now, but this time it's podcast questions. Yes, podcast questions. Every week you get the chance to ask us a podcast question via Twitter at @Borough_breakdown, email @Borough_breakdown@hotmail.com, or by joining our Telegram chat with over 400 Borough fans chatting everything but Borough. It also gives me a nice time as well to mention our feedback form, because we give that out to our Telegram chat this week. We'll probably maybe put it on social then, I don't know. But we like fantastic, and that'll be linked in our podcast description below, and it's just nice for you guys to give us a bit of feedback on the show as well, and how we can develop it for next year as well. We do have some fun ideas, but we just want to do a little bit more and make us even better, and who knows, it might make us number one podcast in the entire EFL. We are number one in the championship, but just not in the EFL, too busy being third. Guys, the one question then, because I did pluck one from earlier from Stuart, but this one's from Rob, and he says, what is our biggest transfer need? Who wants to take? Well, it can be an open question. So, Dana, I'll come to you first. What is our biggest transfer need?
I think it's right back, because obviously Luke Ayling's performing well, but there's absolutely no guarantee that he'll be here next season. I think Dykstil will be moved on. And then Tommy Smith has been out for a while, hasn't he? And I think he said that he will be back for pre-season, was it? So it'll still take him time to get back up to speed with things. And then, even if he does, you've still got one right back there, because again, this is me thinking that Dykstil is probably going to be moved on. So right back is probably a need. But to be fair, if you look at the squad as a whole, it's those wide areas that need improvement. and then potentially the number 10 position and potentially central midfield. But I think that the absolute need is right back for me.
And Matt, do you have a position in mind?
I'd agree. I think on the wings, we've got players there, but we need depth, added quality. But at right back, we might literally be down to the bare bones. I think it would be unfair to rely on Tommy Smith coming straight back in after such a long-term injury and hit the ground running. And then, yeah, you know, Ayling will be gone. Dykstill, I agree. I don't think he'll be here next season. So right back, we will literally be down to the bare bones. And I don't think you can say that for the other positions, like on either side of the wing. I'd like to think we'll still have McGree, we'll still have Isaiah Jones and Marcus Force. But can you rely on them for injuries? Probably not. So you need additions there. But right back, we might actually be down to the bare bones. So that probably would be a priority, I would say.
Yeah, and I'll probably say right back as well. I think there's still, like you're saying there, I think there's a lot of positions that we can add to. I think centre midfield is a big one. Depends if we renew Housen's deal as well. Like, there's still up in the air a little bit about that. Nothing really confirmed on it. Be interesting to see what we do. And with that, you've got the right back position. You've got the wingers. I think we can still improve on. And we need another centre forward in case Lattelaff gets injured. So there's plenty of positions and asks and development. Forget five. I think we need about five or six in the window, but we'll
it's
soon.
About depth.
Yeah, it's about depth.
It really is about depth, isn't it? Yeah, apart from right back, which I think we could probably do strengthening the actual starter. But yeah, everywhere else, it's just the depth, really.
Yeah. Well, let's look ahead now, because we've got one game left until the season closes. But I'm going to take you to a place where trivia is a smiling place, and it is Borough Trivia. And I love this part of the show because I find some random questions to give you guys, you know, it's just the chance to answer it. But I went a bit left field here on this one, to be honest. And if you're listening to us, watching us, do get your thinking caps on, because the question is, what has happened more? Watford beating Borough, or Elton John landing a UK number one single? So your timer is going to start now. Time is up. So the question, just to repeat it as well, what has happened more, Watford beating Borough or Elton John landing a UK number one? Your answers are, so Matt, I want to come to you first. What's happened more?
I'm going to confess I'm not an Elton John fan. I've never really listened or thingy to his music. I know he's quite successful, but I also know Borough. I know Borough probably have lost to Watford, and I don't recall Vicarage Road being a very happy hunting ground for us. So I've written this on a really, really badly thingied envelope. I've put Watford beating Borough.
Okay, and Dana, what are you going to go for?
I've gone for Elton John number ones. I don't know really what my thinking was behind that, apart from just thinking that Elton John is extremely iconic, and therefore I reckon he has had quite a few number ones. But also, there was probably a period, right, where Borough and Watford just didn't play each other, like their paths didn't cross. One was in the Premier League, one was in the Championship. And I know that Vicarage Road, I always think about that game where Jonathan Woodgate had an absolute stinker when we lost in the it was a playoff season. So that's made me think that it's not a very happy hunting ground. It probably isn't when you look at the stats and the head-to-head, but I'm going to go with, yeah, Elton John. What's that? Oh.
Okay. I was very concerned. Well, look, I don't want to go breaking your hearts, and sorry, just seem to be the hardest
terrible
word with this one.
Awful.
I have fooled you.
Get off. Get off.
I have filled you both because neither of you are correct. Watford have beat Middlesbrough 10 times and Elton John has had 10 UK number ones. So it's actually equal. And you see, I'm going to crocodile rock onto the next point because it's all done. And we got a Watford fan on because, you know, a lot's happened with Watford and it always seems to happen. A lot seems to happen with Watford every season, a lot of changes. But we spoke to Mike from the Rookery Road and to find out a little bit more about Tom Cleverley's side.
Hello, this is Mike from the Watford podcast from the Rookery End. And if I sound a little bit croaky, that's because, well, basically, it's your fault, actually. I was out in London at a gig last night recording this on Sunday morning. On my way home, popped into a pub because it was raining, and bumped into a Middlesbrough fan, got chatting to him. and ended up staying out much later than intended. So, yeah, if I sound a bit croaky and unintelligible, it's your own fault, lads. So, last game of the season, and ultimately, really, can't come soon enough. It's been pretty disappointing for Watford. We knew it was going to be a tough one anyway with the squad we've got. But at least we're going into it and going into the summer with a bit of injection of hope, because Tom Cleverley, his appointment on a permanent basis, has given us as a fan base a little bit of a shot in the arm. Obviously, he's got great history with Watford. He played there for a long period in his career. Got respect of the fans. The fans are behind him. And it looks like, on the evidence of the games that the team have played under him, that the players respect him too, as you'd hope. A pretty illustrious career in the game for Tom. And under Valerian Ismail, Watford actually stuck with him longer than they ordinarily would when a manager isn't performing. I think that's probably down to the lack of funds nowadays at Watford. They haven't got the money to hire and fire like they would have done previously, and definitely let Valerian Ismail carry on for longer than we might have expected. The football was just incredibly insipid, very, very cautious, possession-based, without any seeming desire to do anything in the opposition third, and it was soul-destroying. In fairness to Valerian Ismail, he did, like I mentioned, have a poor squad, but the style of play was just mind-numbing. And we're still seeing elements of that now under Tom Cleverley. They're having to break free of that sort of mindset, which is just keep the ball and play it safe. But the team do look significantly better under Cleverley. He's got the three centre-backs and wing-backs playing, which has shored up the defence quite nicely. Tom Dele Bashiru and Edo Kayembe in the centre, although Tom Dele has been missing the last couple of games. So they just look better, they look sharper, they look more focused, they look more threatening. But, I mean, to say they look more threatening is, it doesn't really mean much, because under Valerian Ismail they were just powder puff, absolutely, absolutely hopeless. So, yeah, I think Watford fans really, really pleased with the appointment, and the team has played well. They've responded to him. Haven't won many games, beat Birmingham, beat Sunderland last time out, but the majority of other games have been draws against teams at the top end of the table. Drew at home with Hull, drew at home with Leeds, really creditable draw away at West Brom. Really unlucky to lose away at Southampton in the 100 millionth minute or whatever it was the ref just played until Southampton scored with that one. So, yeah, performances have been significantly better under Tom, and Watford supporters happy with the appointment. In terms of the players to watch out for at the Riverside at lunchtime, Yasser Espria is the key one. Yesterday against Sunderland, he was a protracted farewell as he walked off the pitch. He was a late substitute, but he was brought off, and I think that was done to give him a chance to wave to the crowd. It looks, for all intents and purposes, like he'll be leaving Vicarage Road, or at least he thinks he will be. Superb player, got a future at the top of the game. Ismail Kone is one that be worth looking out for. Canadian international, at the very, very early stages of his career, rough diamond in the midfield there, can play really well but can have peaks and troughs. Ryan Andrews scored on last time out against Sunderland, right wing back, really, really quick, and for that reason alone he can be quite fun to watch. And Emmanuel Dennis has really flattered to deceive since he came back. He's been disappointing, but we all know what he's capable of, and this is probably his last opportunity to put himself in the shop window for a decent move in the summer. I don't think he's got a future at Forest. His salary means he certainly hasn't got a future at Watford, and he'll be looking to cement a move. So perhaps he'll be looking to take to the Riverside stage and get a move through. But Watford just playing better as a unit. I don't think there's many standout individuals. As for predictions, impossible to say, isn't it? I mean, both teams are on the beach. Could peter out to a 0-0, or it could be one of those mental basketball games, end-to-end stuff. Doesn't really tend to happen with Watford games. I think most Watford supporters have checked out after the final home game. We'll be checking out the game on muscle memory, really. Not really expecting anything from it. Hopefully the players have got a slightly better and more professional approach. But what's my prediction? I'm going to go for an entertaining 2-2 draw. Say goodbye to the season. Cheers, 23-24. you won't be missed. We go again. Cheers, lads.
Cheers, Mike. And also another podcast view. And Mike's been on this podcast plenty of times, and he's called you a lad again, Dan. Standard. It happens every
I'm
week.
I'm used to it.
You are used to it indeed. Wait until Mike sees us. He's going to feel like a right little divvy because he's. And I know I love him, really. Let's look ahead to this then one because it hasn't really been a great fixture for Borough, to be honest, over the years. I'm keen to see what your first thing comes to mind, to be honest, when you think about Watford at home, because for me, I don't really have many happy memories at all, to be honest. Dan, have you got anything?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is actually our podcast title from last season, Pest Control, which I think was very good. But then in terms of an actual game, it's not that one. It's the one in the Premier League season where José Holabas scored that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was very, it reminded me a lot of that Giuliano Belletti goal against Chelsea when we got absolutely romped 5-0, just a defender having a shot, having a pop, and it hitting top bins. And that was the only goal of that game. So, yeah, that's not a very happy memory to remember. There's not a lot, really, when I think about Watford at home. If you were to flip it Watford away, I'd be able to tell you plenty. Most notably, Rodrigo Muniz trying to have a shot from the halfway line and then Boris conceding about 15 seconds later. But, yeah, that Holabas goal is what comes to mind first for me.
And for you, Matt, I mean, not many happy memories.
Yeah, I don't have many at home at all. Dana did spark the Premier League one there because I remember that ridiculous finish, which did lose us that game. My actual first memory in general was the Dwight Tiendali show away at Watford when we lost 3-0 in the playoff season, I think it was. I think that was the year Watford went up with Bournemouth, did they?
Yeah.
But I remember after that game, I think that was relatively close to the end of the season, and it was a really bad defeat, and it was a real sinking feeling. I don't know if we were still in and out of the playoff places at that point, but for some reason, that game always springs to mind, and so does Dwight Tiendali, for some reason. Cult legend.
Strange one. Yeah, cult legend. I'm kind of going to keep with you, though, on the right-back position there, Matt, because the game I remember, it was in 2000, we drew 1-1. I'm obviously young at this point when my dad was last day of the season, which I think was, yeah, so it's last day of the season. So, and Robbie Stockdale scored, of all players. It was obviously been on the podcast, Robbie, so as well. And yeah, he scored for Borough, and it was a very, very drab game. I remember my dad carrying me on the way home because my little legs couldn't walk any further. so that was kind of my little memory for it, to be honest. Yeah, grow up, yeah, I know.
I know. You were
16 at the time, man, aren't you? You don't need to be carried out the ground.
I know, yeah. Well, I've only got little legs, you know, so it's a lot of steps for me to get to that ground. So my dad just put me on his shoulders and carried me on. So shout out to Jim Clocks. Right, we'll do score predictions because for the final time this year, you know, I'll give you your predictions. Borough can't really go much higher unless Hull lose and we win by a little bit of a decent margin. Let's see. But predictions, guys, what are you going to go for? Dana?
Well, I said that I'd leave my crazy prediction for the Watford game, so I'm going to go with 5-2, Borough. Why not?
5-2 to the Borough. Matt, what are you going to go for? Matt, oh, Matt, you're looking up there this time around, so I'll be very sad. There'll be an empty seat next to me, and I'll just have to lie there and cry. But what are you going to go for?
I'm going to go 8-1, and I think Afonso Alves will score a hat-trick.
I was thinking the 8-1, actually. I'm glad that we were on the same level there, Matt.
You know what? It could be 0-0. It could be 4-4. I think we'll win. We'll go out on a high. I'll be relatively sensible, and I'll say 3-1. We're scoring goals. We're scoring goals at the minute, you know. So 3-1 Borough.
Yeah, my sensible prediction is 2-0 Borough.
Nah, you can't have that now. You can't
have two days.
Yeah. I'm going to go just a 1-1. I think 1-1, shake hands, finish the season, and we'll forget this season existed. But guys, thank you very much for joining me, as always. To listen to viewers, thank you very much for listening to us and watching us on YouTube as well. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on your podcast provider. Don't forget to give us a thumbs up on the YouTube video as well. And don't forget to comment on our feedback form as well. Help this podcast get a little bit better for next season. But for right now, Watford are going up the Yellow Brick Road to face Borough side, who have found their va-va-voom against Cardiff, courtesy of a rocket man in Ali Gilbert. This being the Borough Breakdown podcast, and that was our Borough Master Chat in a pod. Up the Borough Breakdown.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.